The following is a duplicate of tape one, side two, of an interview with Gilbert Leung, conducted for the Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project.
How many did you say you thought
this there were? This is purely a guess. I would say 20 or 30 families in my recollection. See, there were a lot of men over here that had their families in China, mm-hmm. single men. But established families sending children to school and that sort of thing, especially sending them to college, you could practically, in my youth, you could name them off in two hands. The prominent family during that time was the T. Leung family. Mm-hmm. Louise Larson Leung. Mm-hmm. They had a big house that was designed for them on Pico, and that was the mecca for all the college students and their meetings there and dances. And the son-in-law was Peter Suhu. The older daughter became the vice consul for many years. Peter Suhu was really the founder of Chinatown.
Mm-hmm. We'd like to go into that a little
some other time.
Well, mm-hmm. we'll just finish with this part first.
Okay.
Now,
if I get off the track, you've got to put me back.
Oh,
you want to
no.
knock that part of it out?
No, that's all right. What I wanted to find out, we were just talking about cars, so how many mm-hmm. other Chinese families had cars, do you recall?
Well, that's kind of a hard thing to say. I can only name off the ones that my family had contact with. There may have been other.
Mm-hmm.
There may have been others that I wouldn't be able to say. Our circle wasn't very large.
Mm-hmm.
So again, 20 or 30 cars at the most, I would say.
Oh. You went on picnics and did you ever go to the beach?
Oh, that was rare occasion we get to go on a picnic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the church part of it always had a 4th of July picnic. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was the highlight of the whole season. 4th of July picnics. The kids would ride in trucks, and that was more exciting than anything, going to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And the women would make sandwiches and pack lunches. All we did. Watermelon at the end of the thing. Fireworks.
Now, did your parents entertain at home?
Yes, occasionally they would entertain, like relatives that would happen to come to town.
Mm-hmm.
And usually something to do with church connection.
Mm-hmm.
They were on very friendly terms with the minister from San Francisco or Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
When he came to town, we would always have dinner at our house. We had some of the later years, we had some of the college students that would
mm-hmm.
that would either be contemporary with my older brother and would stay for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Albert Kwan was at USC about that same time.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to come and visit us, and he'd stay for dinner.
Now, you mentioned earlier that that you know you had dances. Now, did
yes.
you do, was this taking place in junior high or high school?
No, only college.
I see,
college
how about,
level.
I see. How about during junior high or high school days? Did you
all I can remember.
Did you belong to any groups?
No, we didn't have any group. We had some athletic activity. As I said, I played a little tennis,
mm-hmm.
a little volleyball, but I didn't belong to any athletic groups or clubs or anything of that sort.
How about dating during high school?
No. Nobody dated in high school in our time.
Can you tell me the reason for that? Was there a particular reason?
Well, in the first place, there weren't I don't know. We just never got started. There weren't that many Chinese girls to go around, I don't think.
Did you go out and how about with other boys or in groups together?
No, my after-school life wasn't that exciting.
I see. Now, did your you mentioned that your family, you know, just took a trip to China. Did anyone in your family attend school in China at all?
Yes. I was only 9 years old, and my brother was, older brother was 15.
Mm-hmm.
And that's typical of my mother's thinking. Even though we were only 6 months
mm-hmm.
in China, she sent my older brother off to Macau, to the school where she went to when she was a girl, the same teacher. So I spent the 6 months in Canton and across the river Honam mm-hmm. with my grandparents and aunts and so forth. My older brother only came back on vacation. Most of his time was spent in this Chinese school.
Do you know the name of it?
Yes, I remember the teacher's name, Chan Jibo, in Macau. And my mother was very proud that her firstborn mm-hmm. did very well for a kid that came back from the States, you know. And he was mingled in with the Chinese kids right there, and she said she did quite well. And I don't know what we finally did with the calligraphy and
uh-huh.
books and so forth.
I see.
Just, you know, they sent back a report card.
I see. What was the name of the school itself?
All I can remember is the teacher's name.
I see. And this was
And for that time, he was rather well known.
I see. And then how about the, he was the only one then of the family.
Yes, because I was only nine.
Right, I see.
I spent my 6 months there mostly with my grandmother on the Lingnan campus.
I see.
Because she had charge of a girl dormitory there, and I stayed with her.
How about the other children?
The other children were too young,
uh-huh.
4 and 5 years old, so they stayed pretty close to my mother.
And this was
in Honam.
I see. And how long were you there?
Total of 6 months only.
And then how long was your brother in school then?
Practically all of that 6 months.
I see. And that's all?
Yes.
And then the family?
No, then we all came back. Left there to school
that was
longer.
What I meant.
No,
right.
He came back.
But
I'm saying, even though we're there that short time, my mother insisted that he go to a Chinese school. Poor guy. But I think he kind of enjoyed it, because he was on his own.
Uh-huh.
I never heard him talk about getting to know other kids very well, or that they corresponded or anything.
Mm-hmm. Did other families, do you know of any other Chinese families?
They did the same
said,
thing?
Uh-huh.
No, many other families would go back and leave their sons or daughters there,
mm-hmm.
and then they would come back. So the ones that were left there would get a good Chinese schooling.
They graduated from...
Yeah, they'd get several years of
schooling.
So when they'd come back maybe for their college, so they would have pretty good foundation of both
mm-hmm.
cultures.
Now, Gilbert, tell me something about your parents. I've forgotten to ask. What was your father's name?
My father went by only two characters, Leung Jiong. Everybody knew him as Leung Jiong.
Mm-hmm.
And then he told me that after you married
mm-hmm.
in a Christian way,
uh-huh.
you took on a new name. So his name was Leung Jun Sang.
Mm-hmm.
My mother's name, maiden name, was Wu Chui Lan.
Uh-huh. Did she use that name? Or did she go by another
no,
name?
No, she always, when she signed anything, she would say Wu Si. And it always puzzled me just what it meant until I learned later. Let's seems like all married women would tack on the C after mm-hmm. their family name.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that your parents attended church. Now, what church was this?
We attended a Methodist church. Mm-hmm. There were a series of them on down the coast, San Francisco, Oakland, Los Angeles, and I think San Diego had a small. They were really small churches, and it was a mission chain.
Mm-hmm.
And had an American superintendent that would visit each mission maybe two or three times a year. And each mission would have a Chinese minister.
Now, was he a trained minister?
I don't know how trained or how ordained they were in those days. I think the spirit moved and you were a minister. I don't know how much training they had in those days. And then there were student ministers that took over.
Now, were the student ministers Chinese?
Chinese. By when I mentioned the student minister, I mean after the several ministers had retired, they were looking around for Chinese-speaking ministers, and there were several that were students that could speak good Chinese or could translate, and they served as student ministers. One of them was Lim Pi Lee from San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
and he served in our mission as a student minister.
I see. But he wasn't attending seminary. He was...
I think he's had religious training.
I see.
Yes.
At that time? That
either in at a college level or seminar.
Mm-hmm.
But he was always active in young people's work, in YMCA work.
Uh-huh.
So it was kind of a natural thing for him to step into ministry.
I see.
And it was another phase in his mm-hmm. life.
Now, you mentioned that your mother taught Chinese school.
Yes.
And when was the Chinese school established?
Well, I'd have to reflect back on my own age. I would say she started it in the mid-20s.
And how long did she teach?
She stayed with it for, 25 years. And she was paid by the home mission of the church, I think it was $25 a month. And then she was permitted to accept tuition from each student, something like $2 or $3
a month.
Uh-huh. But in those days, $50 or $60 a month was mm-hmm. subsistence.
And she taught every day.
She taught, I think it was 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. I don't remember about Saturday. Oh, Saturdays too. In fact, Saturday session was just as long. So it might have been 6 days a week.
When was it held on Saturdays?
In the morning.
In the mornings.
Mm-hmm. 9 to 12.
Uh-huh.
And during the weekdays, it was 3 to 6.
Now, where did she get her materials from?
Books and that sort of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I remember we'd make trips up to San Francisco, and she would buy books from Fat Ming Gongsi up there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think occasionally she would even write them. They would send down Chinese brushes and makian and Chinese books and that sort of thing. I don't recall a bookstore down here that was at that time that supplied that sort of thing. It came from San Francisco.
Was she the only teacher?
No, each church had another congregational church, I think, had a class. And the Presbyterian. In fact, the Presbyterian classes were conducted by the minister, I think. And this was done in those days to encourage the children to come to church.
Mm-hmm.
If you attended the school, you had to come to the Sunday service.
I see. And how many students did your mother have?
I think she would have between 25 and maybe 35. It would fluctuate between those two figures.
And then how did she teach? Because they weren't all being taught at the same level.
They weren't all the same age or the same level. No, she'd have maybe five different grades, different classes. You'd have book one, and book two, and book three, and so forth.
Well, that must have been very challenging.
Yeah, I guess it would challenge. And while the first graders were reciting in unison, the others would be writing, and or be doing some other form, so they wouldn't all be vocal all at the same time.
Now, was your mother active in any other organization in church?
There was a woman's society that she, and it was also affiliated with churches.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they called it the Win One Circle. There was the Pioneer Women's Club.
Mm-hmm. And how many women were there, do you know?
The women came from, there were mainly three churches, the Congregational, the Presbyterian, and the Methodist.
Mm-hmm.
There are more today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the women from each one of these churches would meet once a month and at somebody's home.
You mean the women combined to form this Win One
Society? Yes, this Win One Society.
I see.
And they would meet in some one of the women's home. And I recall, when it was our turn to have it at our house, we had to help pick up the house, you know. And she'd prepare refreshments, and it was all attended by just ladies. And that way you got to see and know some of the women that were on the other side of town or attending the other groups.
And how many women would were in the
group? I think it might have numbered maybe in the 20s.
That's a large 20-ish. Group.
20-ish.
Do you remember who were some of the women in this Win One Circle?
Oh, yes. Mrs. Chan Q Singh was more or less the leader of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was the minister's wife. And different women from the different groups, different churches. I can't think of too many names offhand, but I would say there was equal representation from each one of the churches.
I see.
And they would meet once a month in somebody's home, and they would have a message, and they'd sing songs, and they'd have refreshments. And I think they had some kind of a charity activity, too. They'd call on the sick or needy. That was their thing. So, as far as I know, that was the first organization of Chinese women in Los Angeles.
And did your mother belong to any other organizations?
In the sense that when you're in business in Chinatown, you participate in the Zhonghua activity. And of course, during those war years when Japan and China were at war, there was always that the relief, collecting relief money, and in our restaurant where you had the little box there where people dropped the coin. But during the day, she would go to different parts of the city, as far as the beach city, and she'd look up the different laundries and the restaurants. She'd call on them. And they had certain pledges that they would sign up for. She would go around and collect it.
And
then turn it in at the Zhonghua.
Did she go by herself?
That went on for several years that I can remember. Yes, she made these junkets by herself. Because she couldn't drive. And we were driving during those years, but we didn't have the time to take her. We were in school. So she'd just get on the red car and she'd go to the beach city. She'd go to Pasadena. She'd go to Watts. Wherever she had the list of the different. And I think there were some other women that did the same thing, too. They'd divide the city up into you take care of this section. But she was one of the more active ones when it came to that.
Okay. And then how about your father? I just wanted, you know, to finish about the church. Mm-hmm. Was your father active in the church?
Yes. My father, through my mother, was a converted Christian.
Mm-hmm. Was this after, do you know how soon after he was converted?
I imagine this was after their marriage, because
uh-huh.
I don't think he had any Christian education before that.
Mm-hmm.
It's mainly through my mother. His activities were other than home and church was with the CACA. He was very active in that, and also in the Gong Chao Association, which is a village and a provincial type of organization.
Mm-hmm.
If you're from the Sunwei village,
mm-hmm.
then you belong to the Gong Chao, and he
mm-hmm.
served as treasurer for many years, I think, and vice president, one thing or another.
Did he serve as an officer in the church?
In the church, he was an elder.
I see.
And when the lean years came and they didn't have a regular minister, either the minister had retired, different elders would get up and preach for that particular Sunday. And he'd done it a number of times, I can remember.
Oh, that's really, how about his, the language? Did he learn English, attend English school?
That was another function of the so-called Chinese churches,
mm-hmm.
missions. Not only did they have Chinese language classes for children,
mm-hmm.
so that they would learn their native tongue and be encouraged to attend church, but each one of these missions also had night schools for men, mostly men. And I don't know of any women that attended these night schools. And these men were invariably either single men or men with their families in China. And this was to help them learn the English language so they could gain better occupation. Therefore, in each one of these missions, you'd have two or three American women
mm-hmm.
that would teach English at night.
Mm-hmm.
And these men looked up to these women. You know, Chinese always set the teacher on a pretty high level. Mm-hmm. And they always felt a great gratitude for these women that taught them their English
mm-hmm.
so that they could go out and get a better job, make
mm-hmm.
more money.
Mm-hmm. And did your father attend one of these?
My father must have learned some English
uh-huh.
in that way, because he did not go to any public school.
Uh-huh.
And then just in business, you know,
mm-hmm.
you pick up a little.
Now, what was the principal language spoken at home?
In our home?
Uh-huh.
Chinese.
Which dialect?
Well, my mother was Canton born, raised,
mm-hmm.
so we spoke the city tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Even my father would follow and
uh-huh.
speak more Cantonese. And we were reprimanded if we answered back in English. She said, "I never worry about you learning English. You'll get that eventually, but you answer and you speak Chinese at home."
Mm-hmm. And then, so that what she taught in the Chinese school was based on the city dialect.
Yes,
I see.
Strictly so.
I see. And then, how about did the church have, you know, other influence on your life besides just, you know, attending church? Was there any Westernization at all?
Westernization from the church?
Mm-hmm. Any kind of westernizing influence, I guess?
No, I would say it was our social outlet.
In what way?
Well, when you're that young, you don't date, so any relationship you had with other children, any mm-hmm. that you got to know or became friends in later mm-hmm. life, I think it started in the church. I think I, through all the years, I have kept contact or had some fallback on people that came through the church.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you meet other people at the church? I mean, how did you get to know them any better?
Through the classes and any social activities like picnics or social. You've heard of Sunday school socials.
Yes.
Where you play spin the bottle.
Did you have that on?
Oh, surely.
Sunday.
That was a great thing. Mm-hmm.
So what was Sunday like? You mentioned that church service started at 2, mm-hmm. was from 2 to 4.
2 to 4. The first part of it was a Sunday school where it was conducted in English from a Bible lesson, either from manuals or...
Mm-hmm. Then who taught this?
Appointed Sunday school teachers. We generally had very faithful women or American. I had a man that taught our class for a number of years, faithfully, come down every Sunday. And then later, as we got older, some of us were appointed as Sunday school teachers. And then the second half of that service was a preaching service, and that was in Chinese. So we were exposed to the Chinese spoken language in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall, the only time that an interpreter was used was when we had an American man or woman preaching that service.
Mm-hmm.
Then it would be translated into Chinese for the older members that, mm-hmm. that didn't understand too much English.
I see. Now, did you have some kind of a young people's group then at church?
Yes, they started and had young people's group, which would do it in the Presbyterian church. They'd call it Christian Endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what they call it in the Congregational church. In the Methodist called. It was always a tongue twister, as far as I was concerned. It's called Epworth League,
mm-hmm.
and to this day I can't say it fast.
Now, when did the Epworth League meet?
Kind of hazy on that. I'm not sure whether it couldn't have been on a Sunday. It'd be too crowded. It must have been a week night, perhaps like Friday night, best I can remember.
You didn't have any meetings on Sunday night then?
For a brief time there was a evening service too, but it was, golly, there were very few attending,
mm-hmm.
and it was more like the different elders getting together and what did they call it in those days? It was almost like a, where you tell each other your experiences and
mm-hmm.
what you felt.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a better word for that.
Like witnessing?
Yes, kind of a community session of some sort.
Mm-hmm. I see. Now, did your family celebrate birthdays or observe holidays?
Oh, yes, the biggest thing is, of course, Christmas. And again, it's tied in with the church.
Mm-hmm.
Easter was tied in with the church. Family birthdays, yes. Mother and father would always provide a a little more sumptuous dinner for that occasion, perhaps. If there were any relatives that were available, we'd have a little larger gathering.
This would be at home?
At home.
Uh-huh.
Oh, on rare occasions, I think we'd go to a restaurant. I know that was a big thing. And there were only 7 or 8 restaurants in those days. Well, the time, the traditional, as it still is today,
mm-hmm.
when you really engage the big restaurants and put on a choi, is when either a birth
mm-hmm.
or the parent or grandparent reaching the honorable ages of 60, 70, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you went to the restaurant. But today, I mean, going to the restaurant is practically a weekly affair, but in those days it was not that frequent.
I see. Yeah.